This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy days to us all. It's cold out, but it's hot in here. We're going to bring it to you. Appreciate you tuning in and hanging out with us. Got Jess P.S. on the board and a big show for you today. One of my favorite days. Our friend and yours, James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus, a law review. He's going to join me today. He's coming in hot.
Oh, yeah.
But once he gets here, he's going to stay for both hours. We had a lot to catch up on. It seems like it's been a while since you've
been
on.
It has been a while. Before... It's certainly been a while in terms of how fast everything's been moving, and also some things that haven't moved at all.
Yeah, ain't that the truth, Jess? No doubt. So Jim will join us shortly. But before we get going on the politics of the day, don't forget, it's time for another Text to Win statewide contest.
Hey.
Yeah, listen to Civic Media on the app. Text a keyword. Now, this goes on several times during the day. 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and your favorite hour with your favorite hosts, 4 p.m.
Yeah.
The Dom Salvia Show. That's me, and that's Jess.
Yeah.
Now, you do this each day for your chance to win from our grown-up gift list. A grown-up gift list.
Not adult gift list.
It's amazing how just like the same connotation, same word, grown
well,
up,
there's
adult.
There's a difference between a butt dial and a booty call.
Is there? Yeah, sobriety. Well. It's called sobriety. The grown-up gift list. Each of these hours, again, 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m., we're giving away either $100 in cash or an overnight stay to Chula Vista Resort in the Dells. Each hourly entry qualifies you for our grand prizes, from espresso machines to robot vacuums. We've got 8 grand prizes from a grown-up gift list. So, Dom, how does this work? How do I win the espresso? You know, I say espresso because I want it fast.
Uh-huh.
The espresso machine. Well, easy. The grown-up gift list, text to win contest. Today's word is, this is an easy one.
Mm-hmm.
Santa.
Oh.
It's Santa. I know him. Santa. Today's word is Santa. So download the Civic Media app. It's a super cool app. Find our station, WAUK, where we're coming from right now, and use the text button at the bottom of the screen to send the keyword Santa.
Mm-hmm.
The keyword is Santa. Text Santa for your chance to win this statewide contest.
Santa, get a prize.
Get a prize. Today is what? Cash?
It's cash.
Cash is king.
Money.
Green cash money. Santa. Text Santa and you will be eligible to win the prize. This goes on all hours, so play along with us. We'll remind you here and there of our contest, and good luck to you all. I can see all you folks jumping in right now, man. That's amazing. I love the response. Thank you for tuning in and playing with us. So, if we can get to some of the politics, Jim, get yourself settled. And welcome, man. Good to see you, dude.
I am so pleased to be with you and Jess today. I cannot tell you. Delighted to be here once again.
It feels like it's been a while.
It feels that way.
Like several weeks.
It feels that way. It has, but a few things have happened in America and the state of Wisconsin, so lots of things to talk about. That's what that means.
And I'm glad you're here once again, James Santel, former U.S. attorney and host of Amicus, a law review right here on the Civic Media Radio Network on Saturdays, 9 to 11 a.m. It is a great listen, and that's why I'd love to get you on here, man, because it makes this show a little bit better.
I can add a small amount, but never can reach the level of precision that happens every day and from from every show on
you
Civic
are just
Media.
Too
right?
kind. Just too kind. That's why he keeps coming back. A lot to get to, of course. We're going to talk about Christopher Wray. I want to start there. Yes. We're going to talk about the fraudulent electors and the attorneys that were, you know, apparently trying to steer those fraudulent electors fraudulently, if that makes sense.
Turns out turning the fake electors into victims.
If
who knew?
If you
who
have
knew?
Two huh? acts of fraud, does that make
oh
it not fraud?
Well, apparently
I'm not,
so.
I'm not
apparently
clear how that so. Works. So we're going to get there as well. FBI report came out
yes.
today regarding who was or was not involved right. in the J6. We're going to go there as well. This Alexander Smirnoff, this guy who told Congress that Biden took $5 million.
Oops.
Pled guilty today right. to lying right. and all that. So we're going right. to go there as well. And, of course, Juan Merchan is going to make some decisions. He has some options to choose from. I can see he's scribbling. I know you're not happy about that, Jim. So we're going to get there as well. So a lot to talk about, and you can join us as well. Want to hear your feedback, 855-752-4842. Let's start with your neck of the woods here, Jim. The FBI, Christopher Wray.
Yes, absolutely.
Christopher Wray has announced he is stepping down at the end of the Biden administration.
Before the conclusion of his 10-year term, right? 2 years short
and
of that.
And why do we have 10-year terms,
we
Jim?
We have 10-year terms because we want these folks to be apolitical. Imagine that in America, right? We want them to be appointed, admittedly by a president, and take these positions in a way that they do not feel that they are at the call at will of the person who happens to be in the White House. We want them to do things based upon the law and the facts in a 10-year term, which is a long period of time. Granted, yeah. it is a long period of time, but supposedly insulates you a bit more from the vagaries, the day-to-day craziness that often happens up and down Pennsylvania Avenue. You want this person to be, if not completely apart from that, at least separate enough from it that people have some sense of confidence in what that person is doing. Christopher Wray has been a good director, and I think most people looking at this dispassionately would say just that. He's done a lot of very good things for America. Domestic terrorism, he identifies that as one of our principal focuses. He's done a lot of things, obviously, under the radar, which we don't know about, to ensure that we're safe and secure. Lots of things in white-collar areas, violent crime, all kinds of things. Done some things as well to ensure the future stability of the agents themselves. He's visited every single office, including the Wisconsin field office here during this term, talks to them candidly. He has these open forum, not for you and me, but for the agents to talk about things that make their lives better, to keep them safe and secure economically, some sense of professional status. He's done a lot of good things internal to the FBI. He has plainly been under an awful lot of examination on both sides of the political aisle. This has been a good public servant.
If you irritate both sides, does that mean you're
probably doing something right. It's like the old rule about if you leave from a settlement a little bit, everybody's a little bit unhappy. Probably it's a good result. The same kind of thing here. You're not going to law enforcement is a tough thing. You're going to make some decisions that people are not going to agree with you on. Christopher Wray has fallen in that category. Doesn't qualify you to get fired, but he is saying that he is going to depart before Donald Trump comes into office. We know about the appointment or the presumed appointment of Kash Patel, who has said he's going to bring the FBI to its knees,
to heal,
yes. right? Talked about shutting down the FBI one day and opening it the next day as a monument to the deep, dark administrative state. That's not a good sign. That's not a good sign. Yeah. And so that's where we are today in America. But Christopher Wray, when he departs, I think you will see a lot of good people on all sides saying this has been a good tenure, not without its controversy. And yes, indeed, he also acknowledges along the way when mistakes are made and he says, you know what, we got to do better. That's what you want in a public servant, including the report, we'll talk about it, as you just indicated, coming out of January 6th, things that should have been done better in anticipation of January 6th. He acknowledges those things and says, yeah, we can do better. We're human beings. We're not perfect. That's the kind of person who should be in those positions. Not someone who is so arrogant as to say, I'm always right, and don't you dare think otherwise.
James Santel, I'm always right. Don't you dare think otherwise. When you say apolitical, the point for 10-year terms is to keep them apolitical. Right. What you mean is apolitical, not a space political.
Right. Exactly.
Cash Patel is going to come in as a space political. That's exactly what they were trying to avoid with these 10-year terms.
Right. Just like the attorney general that you and I have talked about it so often, you don't want an FBI agent who is going to pick up the phone from the West Wing and the Oval Office being told by someone, whether it's the president or the chief of staff there or somebody, these are the people we want investigated. I've just come back from fill in the blank.
Right. I got a list.
And here are the people you want. You do not want an FBI director who is going to, yes, you take the phone call. You also say, I will confer with my immediate boss, who is the attorney general, by the way, and we'll determine whether or not there's a basis upon which to open an investigation, Mr. President or White House generally. We're not going to simply do this because you think we're supposed to be loyal to you. Remember the Jim Comey experience? Jim Comey goes over to the White House and he tells us that Donald Trump asked him for his loyalty. And Jim Comey is fired not too long after that because he did not kiss the ring. You don't want that to happen. That's when really bad things happen in any republic, including ours.
So with the now Matt Gaetz out of the picture and potentially former Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi going to be and presumably, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, she is an election denier. I don't know how any election deniers can be in these roles, but that's what's going to happen. So she could potentially be Cash Patel's boss, right?
And she is.
And
she
so
will
if the call comes into Cash and they says, hey, Cash, I got an assignment for you. Go track down X, Y, and Z, journalist or a political opponent.
Rivals, people I don't like, right?
My driver or, someone I do like, whatever
somebody
the case may
be. Somebody I heard
on
the radio who said some nasty things about me from 4 to 6.
Go dig that up. Go do this. Yes, sir. Take the call. Do that. I'm going to confer with my supervisor. That's going to be Pam Bondi. How's that going to work out?
Right. And so there's the concern as well, right? That gives you maybe a little bit of cover if you want, but only a little bit because, once again, my sense is these lines are going to be somewhat blurred between these folks who are in subservient positions. Pam Bondi, of course, has a longstanding. She represented, like many other people in the Department of Justice, including the incoming Deputy Attorney General, she has been the incoming president's lawyer. And she has been in an attorney-client relationship with him during the course of the impeachment proceedings. She plainly has been a surrogate for him in the last campaign. Nothing wrong with that.
She cashed, when she was running for office, she cast a $15,000 or
$25,000
check from the Trump charity.
Right. At the same time that she and other attorneys general around the country were looking at whether or not to sue Trump University for its fraud. Most of the rest of them did that. She chose not to. And she'll be asked about that in the course of the examination by the Senate Judiciary Committee. She should be. She's got some explaining to do, and she can deny that. But there's also you can get some documents. What kinds of things were written at the time to decline that case? That will show whether she was, in fact, doing that for political purposes.
Well, I'll tell you what was written at the time. It was Trump's signature on a check from his charity to her campaign that he got popped for because that's illegal. He got like a 10 or 20% fine for that. And Bondi, she got to keep the money. But no Trump University settlement for the citizens of the great state of Florida.
Absolutely.
But, she got to cash it out. Folks, that is James Santel. He's a former U.S. attorney. He's also a host of Amicus, a law review. He's going to stick around with us today. It's our version of Dom and Friends. Come back with us, 855-752-4842. The word of the day, Santa. I know him.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Right about now, NWA court is in full effect. Judge Dre residing. In the case of NWA versus the police department, prosecuting attorneys are take the motherfucking stand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help your black ass?
I damn right.
Won't you tell everybody what the f*** you gotta say?
The police coming straight.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Word of the day is Santa text it, win some prizes, win $100 today, and a chance to win the grand prizes, espresso machines, robot vacuums, and more. 855-752-4842. James Santel with me today in today's edition of Dom and Friends. We got Jess P.S. on the board as well. We're talking about Christopher Wray stepping down at the end of the Biden administration's term to what? Hand over the reins. Jim.
Right.
We have some sound. Let's play some sound and then I'll grieve a little bit. If you would please, Jess, let's play the first one from Christopher Wray. I believe this is from today.
After weeks of careful thought, I've decided the right thing for the Bureau is for me to serve until the end of the current administration in January and then step down.
Do you think that's the right thing for the Bureau, Jim?
I've said before in other contexts, including this decision, which I think is wrong, by our present Attorney General to terminate these federal cases, there is something
against Trump.
Against Trump, yeah. Right? There's something to be said for continuing to the conclusion of your term and staying on January 20th and 25th and waiting for the confirmation of your successor. If indeed the president nominates, and he will, Cash Patel, and he is then subject to review by the Senate, when that day comes, maybe it's going to come in late January, maybe February, your replacement is standing at the door. He's got his boxes. He's going to hang his diplomas right. In your office. It's time for you to leave. There's something to be said for staying. And there's both the visual aspect of this, which is compelling. The current president, at that point it will be Donald Trump, basically is firing you. There's something to be said for that image that the chief executive
fire
has said,
me, man.
Fire me, man.
Fire
right,
me. I
ahead.
Get to collect some unemployment
exactly,
then.
Right. for that image of what you're doing with respect to the rule of law, there's also something, as I hinted before, about the continuity issue. Now, there'll be a deputy who will stand in, and that person is not at the top level, but there'll be an acting director all the time.
The place won't fold without
it will not
there,
fold.
Right.
The lights will stay on. The work will continue throughout the country. But there's something, again, and just for the purposes of the integrity I mentioned before, the agents around the country, including right here in Wisconsin, the field offices around the country, to say that, you know what, I'm going to ensure that whatever happens come January 20th and the days that follow, including the confirmation maybe of an attorney general right across the street on Pennsylvania Avenue, I will be here to provide not a buffer. I don't want to anticipate so much badness that you need a buffer, but nonetheless some continuity there. There's something to be said. On the other hand, I appreciate, as I do, Joe Biden's decision to pardon his son. There's something you go home at night and you say, you know what, I've served my country and I've done a good job. And I have decided that it's appropriate for me, Don. I think that's what we're hearing today yeah. or yesterday when he comments as he does. You hear in his tone as well. It is time for me to go. And I would prefer maybe not to be fired by a president. I will ensure something of an appropriate transition here, although that could happen also even on February 1 or right. March 1. Yeah. All kinds of considerations there.
And I totally get that. And when you put in the time and all those things, but the factor for me is this is, you know, Donald Trump. This mm-hmm. is the guy that appointed you. Why wouldn't you just, you know, right. I get it. Maybe he's getting the back door. I mean, he's a Republican, right? I mean,
absolutely.
He's a conservative. I mean, he was put in there by Trump to begin with.
He was confirmed
by the Senate. I mean,
absolutely.
This is so, but all in all, you consider this a generally good tenure.
I do. And again, it's not, you can identify all kinds of things along the way, yeah. including things related to the Russia investigation, all things before that became the Mueller report, things that the inspector general has looked at and said, you can do better. I know we're going to talk about it, the January 6th event, those kinds of things. You're not going to escape criticism because you're doing things at such a high level.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, you can't be worried about criticism. Right. You know, you got to do the
absolutely.
Right thing with the facts that are in front of you and the cases you got and where the evidence leads, you do the right thing.
Right. And you're dealing with witnesses who change stories. You're dealing with sometimes changing law. Look at the United States Supreme Court who changed the Constitution about 5 months ago. Right. We're doing all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And you're doing this in the midst of admittedly, it should be a non-political position. But you're sitting right there on Pennsylvania Avenue between the White House and the Supreme Court and the Congress itself. It is a tough thing to do. You're being called up for oversight capacity of House committees and the Senate committees asking you to respond to the latest outrage of the day.
Second-guessing your decisions.
Expressing outrage to you that you would continue to serve in this capacity, and why don't you resign right now in shame? It is a tough job. Yeah. And so not without criticism, some of it legitimate, an awful lot of it not. He has been a good public servant, and I think history will treat him well.
We got a couple more cuts from Ray from yesterday. Loving the job and the people cut too, please, Jess.
Now, it should go without saying, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyways. This is not easy for me. I love this place. I love our mission, and I love our people. But my focus is and always has been on us and on doing what's right for the FBI. Because when you look at where the threats are headed, it is clear that the importance of our work protecting the American people and upholding the Constitution will not change.
We'll see about that.
That may be aspirational. That may be aspirational for an incoming attorney general and director. We hope that that's the case and that the things that they have said before are not predictors of what they will actually do. There may be some reality checks for them, too, frankly, with Pam Bondi and with Kash Patel when he takes his office there, right on that very weird 1970s building right there on 9th and Constitution. It may not be quite as easy as he thinks. And the management of the FBI, the management of the Department of Justice by Pam Bondi is not an easy thing, even apart from all the issues that are confronting America right now.
45 seconds left in this segment, Jim. Do you think that Bondi and Patel will actually be confirmed or recess appointments? What's your thought there?
I do. I think probably both of them will be. I think it'll be very close. The Democrats will not vote for either one of them. You've got just enough people in the Senate right now to vote favorably. Both of them will get through, I suspect, but after some very interesting Senate Judiciary Committee hearings. And I look forward to hearing those and for the answers to these questions, what you've said before and what your plans are for the future of the people's representative there on Constitution Avenue.
I'm going to do whatever Donald Trump tells me. Folks, this is the Dom Salve Show. James Santel, Jess P.S., and you, 855-752-4842. Don't forget, word of the day for today's statewide contest. Santa, S-A-N-T-A, spell it right, Santa.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's our grown-up gift list text to win contest. So go download the Civic Media app, find our station, use the text button at the bottom of the screen, and send the keyword Santa, for your chance to win in this statewide contest. It's going to go on through the rest of this hour up until 5 o'clock, so make sure you do it. Text Santa. Got James Santel, a former U.S. attorney, host of Amicus, a law review right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, Saturdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Wrapping up our discussion of Christopher Wray and the FBI, but we're not leaving the FBI quite yet. Jim, the reporting out today, as I see it at the Hill, the DOJ reporting that no undercover FBI agents were present for January 6th. Countering conspiracy theories. Wait, what?
Huh?
Quote, we have found no evidence in the materials we reviewed or the testimony we received showing or suggesting that the FBI had undercover employees in the various protest crowd or at the Capitol on January 6th. The Inspector General concluded in an 88-page report reviewing the Bureau's response. Now.
So we've got that.
We got right? that. Now, this is the rest of it, though. This is what gets me. The report did find that some of the FBI's confidential human sources, referred to as CHSs, confidential human sources, they were present in the crowds, including three who were tasked with monitoring domestic terrorism subjects. Quote, none of these FBI CHSs were authorized to enter the Capitol or a restricted area or to otherwise break the law on January 6th, nor was any CHS directed by the FBI to encourage others to commit illegal acts on January 6th. Now, beyond the three sources who coordinated, Jim, with the Bureau, the Inspector General found that 23 other confidential human sources came to D.C. in connection with the rally, of which four entered the Capitol and another 13 entered the restricted security perimeter set up around the building. Quote, none of the CHSs who entered the Capitol or a restricted area has been prosecuted to date, the report concludes. Now, I'm glad that we had some people monitoring what was going on. That seems very logical if you bring thousands and thousands of people to the Capitol to go and ransack. Of course, it wasn't ransacked yet, but it got there, right? Mm-hmm. So I expect that. But do you make a distinction, Jim, or a big difference between confidential human sources or actual guys are on the payroll? I'm sorry, he's a 1099. He's not a W-2.
Right.
I mean, what?
It is the kind of thing that, again, the American population will not get into this story the way that we're talking about it right now, right? And you know that right now the other side of the media is already saying, see, the FBI had people, they were going inside and they weren't prosecuted. The headline will not make that distinction. There is a bit of a distinction between the two of them, and that is because you do have employees who are, again, subject to very strict rules and regulations. You also have these confidential sources who are, again, they're not on the payroll. That may be a distinction that may not make a whole lot of difference.
But it doesn't mean they're not getting paid.
Precisely, right? And they do, and they're getting paid also for some information that hopefully would have been helpful for the FBI. We'll talk more about its information base in just a minute or so. But helpful to the FBI in understanding what's going on, helpful to the FBI in knowing what is coming. And so that's a valuable thing. In the end, again, the distinction may be less significant for mom and pop out there in America. I think the important thing, this notion that they have not been charged. Well, there are many people, frankly, who entered the Capitol, entered security grounds that were not charged. Basically, the U.S. Attorney's Office, they're prosecuting people engaged in violence, did some things to destroy the trappings of the Capitol building, discretionary judgments made all the time. And my strong guess is, although we will not see this probably for years, is a lot of those CHSs were probably also providing information to the FBI in real time. Here's where I am. Here's what I'm doing. Here's what I'm seeing right now. And as this thing got completely out of control, may have had some positive benefit on the response, although, again, it was catastrophic overall. And so it's a mixed bag, undeniably a mixed bag. The big issue is that you did not have a conspiracy. The big conspiracy issue, of course, is see, the FBI caused this. They had people on the ground who prompted all these legitimate, mom and pops from around America. They prompted to do things they wouldn't otherwise do. That's what the Inspector General found did not happen. That's not what those folks were doing on that day. They're providing information.
They weren't enticed into this activity by FBI employees to attack the Capitol.
Right. These were not the instigators. These were not members of the Proud Boys, the Three Percenters.
Were they Antifa?
Right. And there's the counter headline. They were not in that category of people who caused this in the first place, which is some of what those conspiracies say. This would not have happened but for the FBI. Not the case. And again, the Inspector General, it's inside the Department of Justice, admittedly, but it's a quasi-independent agency that reviews the operations of the department. This is kind of the watchdog. Every single cabinet office has this kind of thing. This is Michael
Horowitz. Who can fire the Inspector General in the FBI?
The answer is that the Attorney General can, the President can, but there's usually...
Can the FBI Director?
No.
Okay.
No. That would be, again, I'm thinking of the organizational chart here. The FBI director, the inspector general does not respond to the FBI director. So the answer is no. But again, the subject, if you are engaged in wildly crazy investigations out there coming to conclusions that are completely unsupported, then you've got a problem there. But for the most part, again, like an FBI director, you want somebody there who's reasonably, not completely, but reasonably insulated from that kind of political retribution, if you will, if a president, if you do something that a president doesn't like.
James Santel, former U.S. attorney, joining me, Dom, on the Dom Salvia Show. Just PS on the board, 855-752-4842. Inspector General report coming out on the FBI's actions during the January 6th Love Fest.
It was a tourist event, apparently, according to some members of the Congress.
The Hill reporting, Jim, but the report found the Bureau fell short in contacting its offices across the country to see what their confidential sources were saying about the planned rally. Quote, while the FBI undertook significant efforts to identify domestic terrorism subjects who planned to travel to the Capital Region on January 6th, we also determined that the FBI did not take a step that could have helped the FBI and its law enforcement partners with their preparations in advance of January 6th specifically. The FBI did not canvass its field offices in advance of January 6th, 2021 to identify any intelligence, including confidential human sources reporting about potential threats to the January 6th electoral certification, the report found. In the statement responding to the report, the FBI defended its preparations. Quote, this is the FBI Inspector General. Right. That was their position. Here's what the FBI said. Although the FBI continues to disagree with certain of the factual assertions of the in the report regarding the manner of specific steps and the scope of the canvas undertaken by the FBI in advance of January 6th, a time period during which the ROT report recognizes as including multiple field offices providing information response to direction from Washington field office and FBI headquarters, the FBI nonetheless accepts the OIG's recommendation regarding potential process improvements for future events. I mean, come on. Okay, so they reached out to a couple, but not enough? I mean, is that what I'm hearing?
Mistake, with capital M, capital I-S-T-A-K-E, right? You've got the deputy director, who again, is underneath Christopher Wray, as I said before. What he says is, yes, it probably is understating the error here, but he says a basic step was missed. No kidding, right? Right? and again, something like this, again, I have to tell you, I was not sufficiently aware of the fact that this, I knew there was going to be a rally there on that day. There's some reporting. I didn't realize how organized this was in terms of social media out there, but that's what the FBI is supposed to do. And how do you get that information from Wyoming and California and Wisconsin and Florida and Georgia and every other place? You reach out to your field offices. There's a special agent in charge of every one of those field offices out there. And you say, what are you hearing in Minneapolis, in Phoenix, in St. Louis, in St. Petersburg? Tell us what you're hearing right now, right?
Jim, can't you just look at the crowd, man? I mean, they come, we'll be wild. I mean, the Donald Trump tweeted it out, right? I mean, the internet activity was buzzing. Right. I mean, everyone was coming. He knew there was a bunch of people showing up. They had magnometers or, machines that Trump was saying, let the people in, let them come in, right? They prepped enough for that. They pulled permits, for the rallies. I mean, of course they knew they were coming.
Absolutely. And so that's presumed that may or may not be a part of exactly what the FBI is pushing back on. This more fundamental mistake is, okay, who are the people who are going to be showing up here or accepting that invitation? What do you know about what's coming in from Colorado? What is your group out there? What from Wisconsin? Have you seen some chatter on the deep web, on the overt web here, that tells you who these people are and what they're all about? Are they talking about violence? Are they misled? What do they look like? And that's the kind of intelligence that can also help you design what the nature of your response is and really give you a sense of how dramatically bad or not so bad this is going to be, regardless of what that should have shown, what would have shown FBI, again, as I said before, acknowledging we did this inadequately. We should have reached out and learned more about the people who are there on the ellipse and then invited by the president down the street to attack the Capitol. We should have done better.
Should have done better. It blows my mind, Jim. And it's so outrageous. It's hard for me not to think that they were just sitting on their hands like they had instruction not to, or somebody did. How do you not send the cavalry, Jim, the FBI, the whoever, someone get a gun, the Capitol's getting attacked? Where was the cavalry, Jim, right? From the FBI or anybody else?
Absolutely. And so this is the kind of thing, again, you look to Congress. This is the kind of thing that a congressional committee, an oversight committee, getting this report, again, depending, we know that time is short. It's 38 days, right? But in a properly divided government, you would have oversight committees in the House and the Senate who would grab this report and say, you know what? In 3 weeks, we're having an oversight hearing, and we're calling in these people who are identifying this report. We're calling in Christopher Wray, for as long as he's there, the deputy director, the person in charge of this operation. And we're going to read the riot act to them, but also question them about why is it that you did not do this, and ask for some responses. And it may be interesting to find out. Again, the inspector general tells us this was not done. The real question is, why not? Where was this dropped, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's something. That's the real story here. Was this, again, now I'm going to be engaged in some of the conspiratorial stuff. Were there some instructions from internally, externally? We don't know
well,
that.
Well, there were instructions specifically from the Pentagon, I think. About the National Guard and how they were supposed to engage with the Trump supporters.
Exactly. And standing down from that.
Yes.
We know all about that.
So we know it happened at least on the National Guard, at least in that regard. Christopher Miller, I believe his name was.
Right. And so we've got that. The question should be asked in the wake of this in a government that would follow up on this question when a Congress, again, presumably is going to be Republicans in both houses, are they going to have that oversight? They're going to seize on this report under a Donald Trump administration that may, in fact, reveal something about the bad things that went on in the last weeks of that administration? No, the answer is not. And so we have to wait now for other investigative journalists to pursue this further, to ask those questions. That's the only other aspect out there that reveals more about this. It is a very frustrating situation.
Sorry, folks, our bad. We should have done better. Next. I mean, that, if there's not, I don't know. And we can do
accountability.
Committees. Yeah, right. What does that look like here?
Right.
And it's not just on again, it blows my mind that you would see it. If it was Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They never would have got foot. I mean, that's my humble personal opinion in what I believe is a very problematic racial issue we got in this country.
Right.
I mean, when Black Lives Matter went there, my understanding, they put Trump down in the bunker, man.
Right.
And it got out. He was not happy about that.
Right. And here's the other piece that you just implicitly suggested. You would anticipate, again, very soon, that the FBI internally would also do more to come out in the wake of this report and say, here's what we have done to Rem. Here, frankly, the people who are responsible. Yeah. We're going to make sure this doesn't happen again.
What are you doing to make sure this doesn't happen again?
That's
at least the part that's in your purview. What are you doing? What actions are you taking to correct what happened? And if you don't, if it's not addressed, how do we know that's not going to happen again?
And if Christopher Wray does it, will Cash Patel do it in 40 days from now?
855-752-4842. More conversation regarding the J6. We got the fraudulent electors here in the state of Wisconsin. Want to talk to Jim about that as well. Come back with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, friend of ours, host of Amicus Law Review on Saturdays right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Joining me today, Jess P.S. on the board, you on the phones and the texters, 855-75-CIVIC. I see some callers and some texters. Stand by briefly. I want to throw this one out there as well. Of course, Jim, bringing it back to the state of Wisconsin.
Yes.
Some of the attorneys involved in the fraudulent elector scheme here in Wisconsin made their first appearance today in court. Talking about Kenneth Cheese, bro. I know that's not how you say his name, but that's what we do because we're being disrespectful because he tried to throw out my vote. So, yeah. Jim Troupas and Mike Roman, a Trump campaign aide. Now, they're initially charged by Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call, right, with one count of fraud.
Exactly.
Now, yesterday, prior to coming into this court case today, he threw on an additional 10 charges of fraud. Apparently, let's see, what was the reason here? Oh, yeah. Charges related to a felony forgery and forgery meant to defraud the Republican electors who cast their ballot for Trump, even though Joe Biden won the state. So let me get this straight.
Yes,
the Republican,
let's get this straight, Mr. Attorney General.
Are you telling me right? that these attorney or two attorneys and Mike Roman, the aide, were fraudulent, put a fraud upon right. the fraudulent Republican electors. Right. Is that what I'm understanding
that's
here?
What you're, okay, that's what I'm reading here in the complaint. And again, it is fascinating and horrifying. fascinating intellectually, because again, you got it just right. Initially charged with fraud basically upon all of us, right? Yep. Forgery based upon stealing your vote, as you just said, Dom, right? And now we're saying that, okay, there was a second kind of fraud, and that was visited upon the very people who signed these documents saying under penalty of perjury that they are electors, that Donald Trump won the election, were willing to certify that to the Congress, to the Speaker of the House of Representatives and the President of the Senate, were sending that on. And as a result of that, the electors themselves, rather than potential defendants, as they were in every other state in the United States of America, they were actually the victims
yeah!
of crime. Here in Wisconsin, they were the victims of crime, according to our Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin.
Well, I don't know what you do. You either charge them, including right. Andrew Hitt. We got a cut of Andrew Hitt from the 60 Minutes, right, from earlier this year. They either charge the 10 electors or you got to charge the attorneys because there was additional fraud one way
right,
or the other.
Right,
we got a little bit of sound. Let's play Andrew Hitt. This is a former head of the Republican Party in the state of Wisconsin when he got out in front of this story nationally and went on 60 Minutes. Play that, please, Jess.
You personally don't believe that legitimate votes by Wisconsin residents should be tossed out, and yet you are signing a document in support of a lawsuit which is alleging just that.
And if I didn't do that, and the court did throw out those votes, it would have been solely my fault that Trump wouldn't have won Wisconsin. Can you imagine the repercussions on myself, my family, if it was me?
If I didn't break the law?
Who prevented Donald Trump from winning Wisconsin.
You're saying you were scared?
Absolutely.
Scared of Trump supporters in your state?
It was not a safe time. If my lawyer is right, and the whole reason Trump loses Wisconsin is because of me, I would be scared to death.
Oh, he's scared. He's scared of his own voters.
How many things are wrong with that statement? Can we count them? Do we have enough time?
We have 3 minutes left in the segment.
Including that, again, that within hours before, you sat down and you signed this document. No conditional language in that says, oh, we're not going to use these unless a court finds. A couple hours before.
Pennsylvania did that, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Many other states had that language. Yeah. A very different situation. You signed a document that said that I am an elector, that Donald Trump won. And again, did somebody compel you to be in that room in the Capitol where a couple hours earlier the Supreme Court of the state of Wisconsin found, in fact, that Joe Biden had won the election? And what you're doing basically is you're saying, okay, again, putting aside the fear, which is an interesting concept. It doesn't absolve you of criminal conduct.
The claim of fear,
right?
Yes.
And now we're stating that, right? But you're also, this is the thing you and I have talked about before. If a lawyer comes to you, Dom, and says, I want you to sign a document that you know is false, and I want you to attest to this under penalty of perjury, don't worry. I will take care of it. I'm just going to take this document from you. You have no control over it, but I'm a lawyer. Trust me and do that. Does anybody do that? I hope the answer is no.
Well, certainly, right? I think some people could do that. But you know who wouldn't do that? An election attorney like Andrew Hitt, who
Absolutely.
Was the head of the Wisconsin Republican Party. He certainly should know better.
And these people are in the room in part because there was someone there, because they're in that category of people who are inclined to do it in the first place. So many things wrong with this. And I criticize our attorney general once again for buying into that notion that somehow they're relying upon the representations of attorneys. We were misled. Now we've got the fear allegation here.
It is ridiculous. I'd love to argue that in the closing argument in this trial, saying, members of the jury, common sense tells you this is not the thing to do.
James Santel, former U.S. attorney. We're going to carry this conversation into the next hour as well. I hope you stick around with us, 855-752-4842. It's not me. Attorneys, Jim, can do wrong by their clients. I'm wondering,
absolutely,
did they engage? Was there an engagement letter between these folks and these attorneys, Cheesebro and Troopas? I mean, right. I don't know. But it seems to me if you're going to claim that, you should have some sort of documentation. Hey, these facts, these in fact, were our attorneys. They gave us bad advice that we followed, and therefore you should charge them with fraud, not us with fraud. Folks, this is the Dom Salvi Show. That is James Santel. Jess P.S. is on the board. You on the phones, 855-752-4842. Don't forget, text in Santa for your chance to win our statewide contest. The last 90 seconds. Stick around.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.